Welcome to the Wilton Baptist Church, where we worship God, walk with others, and win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Steve, and our congregation is pleased to share this message with you today, and we pray it'll be a blessing and an encouragement to you. Blessings as you listen or watch.
On September the 9th, 2003, Benji, Gary, Micah, Ethan, and Katie moved to Port-au-Prince, Haiti to work alongside of Don and Bridget Dryden. It was a great blessing to rear our three children in the same ministry and house that I was reared in the community of Dewoulin. Our family grew this last year with the addition of Ethan's wife, Carly, and then on Saturday, Micah will be married. Katie is currently in her third year at Pensacola Christian College. They sure do grow up fast. We've always been in the business of building, whether it be the structure of Dewoulin Independent Baptist Church or ordaining deacons, growing church members, or future Sunday school and children's workers. When we did go to Haiti in 2003, it was to assist in Grace Baptist Bible Institute. Praise the Lord, this past January, 34 men graduated from a five-year program of study. This puts our total graduates at 359 since we've been serving in Haiti these past 20-plus years. Dewoulin Independent Baptist Church has a Christian school of 170 students, and also has Sunday school teachers that have been properly trained. My wife and I have been in the States for the past year and a half for several reasons, mainly to help with my dad's final months on this earth. This past November the 27th, Dad graduated to glory, but his legacy lives on. What a great and wonderful foundation we have been privileged to build on, like performing weddings of young adults whom were saved as children and nurtured in Dewoulin Independent Baptist Church. Even baptizing in the ocean and being a testimony to all those around us. I was able to make a recent trip to Port-au-Prince after landing in Cape Haitien. I made a five-hour vehicle ride over the mountains and through the rivers just to get home. But while I was home in Port-au-Prince, 19 people were saved through church-wide soul-winning visitation and a three-day Bible club. Our teens also went on a six-day spiritual retreat, compliments of Don Dryden. Even while in heaven, Dad is affecting lives. I was able to preach the stewardship conference of Dewoulin Independent Baptist Church and also a series of Bible studies on spiritual gifts and help set straight some misconceptions. Unfortunately, what you are seeing and hearing about in Haiti through the news outlets is very true. Our ministry is currently not directly affected by what's happening in the capital of Port-au-Prince, 150 miles away, but our folks involved in the church, Christian school, and Bible Institute will become affected soon because no goods can be imported. Haiti sits on one-third of the island it shares with the Dominican Republic. With a landmass approximately the size of the state of Maryland, it is populated with 11.5 million souls. The nation's forefathers dedicated their country to Satan back in the early 1800s, giving the devil freedom to do as he wills. Please join us in continuing to pray for the country of Haiti and the national Christians continuing the work which you all have been praying for these past several weeks. Thank you for having me in your missions conference. Thank you for praying for us. And thank you for continuing to support missions worldwide. Bonjour. All right, good. I got some tongue speakers in here this morning. I did grow up speaking two languages. I went to Haiti when I was 15 months old. And so the Lord blessed me with the ability to speak English and Creole simultaneously. Now, when I say simultaneously, I can't speak one language out of this side and one language out of that side. But when I did preach my dad's funeral several months ago, there were several former missionaries from Haiti in the assembly and several Haitians, and there were quite a number of our folks back in Haiti that were watching online. And so I translated, or as we preachers like to call it, interrupted my own message. I preached in English and then I translated into Creole. And that was a blessing for me to be able to communicate not only in the American culture, but I can communicate in the Haitian culture very well. Yes, I did go on Thursday, January the 25th, and made that five-hour ride. On that Saturday following, we had the college or Bible Institute graduation, where 34 men graduated, and all of those things happened. We saw souls saved, baptisms. But on the way back, what Pastor said was very true, but it's in the eyes of the beholder. To me, growing up in Haiti, it was just another day at the office. But someone who's not familiar with living in a third world country, it is strange, it's different, it's miraculous. But listen, me driving from here up to Queensbury to the hotel is miraculous. Why is that? We're driving at 65 and 70 miles an hour, and the tires are still staying on the car. There's no flat tires. You know, that's our everyday life, folks, is miraculous. What the Lord gives us every day, we should be thankful to Him for it. This week we've been looking at, or this weekend, making disciples. And we looked Friday night at what entails in making disciples. It takes time to make disciples. I mean, you parents and grandparents, you can go back to the time when your children were young and you were making disciples. You were growing your kids or trying to grow your kids up to be adults and be responsible one day. You are making disciples. It takes time. It takes work. Amen? It does take work. We've been in Haiti for 20 years, plus years. It just takes time and building relationships and getting the people just working alongside of us and teaching them by working with them and them doing it with us. Then last night we looked at the rewards of discipleship and how it's very rewarding. We get some stick-to-itiveness out of being a disciple. And that's a great reward. Well, this morning, I would like you to take your Bibles, if you would please, and open it there it is. No, it's somewhere in here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you would please. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to begin reading in verse 6. Once you find your passage, if you would stand out of respect and honor for the reading of the Word of God, I would appreciate. That's just a habit that I practice when I have the opportunity to preach to any congregation. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 6. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning of verse 6. The Apostle Paul, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, penned these words, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now, he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let's bow for prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for the opportunity we have this morning to be in your house, to open your word, and to see how it's going to speak to us this morning. Thank you for this weekend and the wonderful time that we've had together, fellowshipping together around your word and around the table and just standing around. Thank you for the time fellowshipping this morning with coffee. Thank you for this service. Thank you for this conference. Thank you for missions. Thank you for calling me to be a missionary. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. At the age of 5, we were in Haiti. I went to Haiti when I was 15 months old, grew up speaking both languages. My dad was pastor in Peniel Baptist Church at the time. And that Sunday morning, he preached on hell. And all afternoon, I was bothered as I realized that's not a place I wanted to go. I even went to Bible club that afternoon. Sister Fenon, she's still there in that same church. And she doesn't teach much anymore because she's getting on up there. She taught the lesson. I didn't pay attention too much to the lesson because I was bothered about what my dad had preached that morning. And I went home after Bible club that afternoon before service that night and talked to my mom. And my mom took me in their bedroom beside the bed. We knelt down and she showed me some verses and I received Christ as my Savior. At the age of 14, we were in the States down in Florida, Ruskin, Florida. And my dad was preaching again, but this time he was preaching in English. He's preaching in a church that supports them. And he did something I've never seen before, and I haven't seen it since. I haven't done it yet. I haven't been led to do it. But he was talking about filling the missionary's shoes. When the missionary can't go anymore, who's going to take his place? And my dad actually took his shoes off and set them there beside the pulpit. He did stay behind the pulpit, remained preaching. But he put his shoes there. And when the missionary cannot go anymore, who's going to fill those shoes? And that could apply to the world over. Because you have missionaries in the Philippines. But last night we saw one of your missionaries from France. And I was looking at the screen in the lobby this morning. And you have them all over the world. When those missionaries cannot physically go anymore, who will go in their place? We have several young people here this morning. We have several older folks this morning. It's not just young people that are called to be a missionary. You know, actually, we all are called to be a missionary. We're all also called to give. You as church members give. We as missionaries give also. I want you to look with me closer in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, excuse me, and verse 7, says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. One of the classes I took every semester in college. I went to Pensacola Christian College a few years before your pastor did, and that's where I met my wife, Carrie. But I went as a Bible major with a missions emphasis. They just substituted some of my Bible classes for missionary classes because I knew the Lord called me to be a missionary. Even after graduation, I didn't know where. I prayed about some different places because there were missionaries. One missionary in Nepal, his family, they all died in a plane crash. But I didn't get a peace about that. There was a missionary from Jamaica that was having to leave the field because his eyesight was going. I said, man, that's in the Caribbean. I can go to Jamaica. Then later on, I learned that Jamaicans don't really like Haitians. So maybe that wouldn't have went over real well. But I didn't get peace about that. After serving in our local church, the church where my wife grew up at, took a mission trip to Haiti, then I had peace about us returning back to Haiti. When you give, the Lord wants you to have a peaceful heart. We're talking this morning about faith promise or grace giving. Your giving of what's in your pocket to missionaries. But we just don't want to stop with our pocket. We need to include our lives in giving it to the Lord. This morning, I want us to look at some motives for giving. What motivates us to give? Paul here in verse 7, he talks about one of the motives for giving is a peaceful heart. My goodness, there is not peace in the world today, is there? I mean, everywhere you look, it is very unsettling. Israel, Ukraine, those have been big in the news. Ukraine's been there for going on 2 years or more. Haiti, it's just been really going downhill since about 2017. And it took a nosedive at the end of February. Paul encourages us to give. Giving will allow us to have a peaceful heart. I like what he said here in verse 7. Every man. Now, that isn't talking about biological males. Okay, that's talking about man in general. A peaceful heart is not just for a select few. It's for all of us. Every man, according as he or she purposeth in his or her heart. It's not a private matter. It's for everyone. It's available for all. You want peace? Give. It's not a pouting matter. You continue that verse, and Paul says, so let him give not grudgingly. Man, I wish the pastor hadn't asked us to give to missions. I really could save up for that. And you fill in the blank. I really wish there wasn't a paving project at church because I could really use a new, and you fill in the blank. I really don't know what is the going, not fashion, but the going sport up here. Since being in the States, especially living down in Florida, we've been living in Jacksonville, Florida. I mean, those Floridians and Georgians, they are all about football. I mean, it's either Florida State Seminoles or Florida Gators or Georgia Bulldogs. And if you ain't one of those three, you ain't nothing. I don't know what we spend our most time up here doing, but what I'm trying to say is when you give to the Lord, don't do it pouting. Oh, man, I really could use this verse. And you fill in the blank. And that's what grudging, like, man, if I hadn't given that, I could. No, you just give it and go on. Because it's the Lord's now. And I know it's probably not politically correct to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. We don't need to be Indian givers. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right. Indian givers, you give it and then you take it back. That's just an old terminology. We're giving it to the Lord. It's for His, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Peaceful heart. It shouldn't be pressured. Paul writes there, not grudgingly or of necessity. Oh man, I'm going to give it only because I have to. Everybody else in church is taking part in Faith Promise. I guess I better too. I got to keep up with the Joneses. Ever heard that before? Keeping up with the Joneses? It's uncanny how we as human beings, we buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't even know. Did y'all catch that? It's the truth. Listen, I said the other night, missionaries put their britches on the same way church folks do. We're humans. We have a tendency to do the same things and go the same way that y'all do. Just because we're missionaries don't mean we're special. We're people too. And as missionaries, we have to remember to give. That gives us a peaceful heart. Paul not only talks about one of the what motivates us for giving is having a peaceful heart, but he also talks about the motive for giving should be to please our Father. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God, what's the word there? Loveth a cheerful giver. He is pleased to receive. Matthew 6:21 says this, for where your treasure is, there will your, what's the word? Heart be also. Now notice that verse. Notice with me, that verse doesn't say, where your heart is, there your treasure will be. And I, for many years I read that verse, but some time ago I heard in this verse used in a message, and what the speaker said really spoke to me. God knew man. And he knows what direction we have a propensity to go. And he says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's not the other way around. So if God has your pocket, then he has your heart. And if he's got your heart, he's got the whole package. Now, in Haiti, of course, we speak a different language, but Creole is based on the French language. But we would say, Mwemo atutkem. Vous comprenez ça, Brother Woody? Brother Woody understand what I said. In English, we say, I love you with all of my heart. Ke, heart. Now, I have come to realize that there's a country in Africa. And I don't know how this works out, Pastor, when a young man is proposing to his fiance or his girlfriend to become his fiance. But to stand in front of her and say, sweetheart, this is how it would go in that country. Sweetheart, I love you with all my liver. Okay, I don't know how that would work. But in their culture, it does, because for them, their liver is the seat of their emotion. For us Americans, the heart is the seat of our emotion, the seat of our being. Now, obviously, brother, when you proposed to your wife, you didn't open up and pull your heart out and say, you've got my heart. No. Okay, there's still beating in there. That's an Indiana Jones thing, right? Okay. I just wondering if we had some of those out there. Hey, I told you, missionaries put their bridges on the same way as regular church folk. The heart. If the Lord has our pocket, and not just the front pockets, but the back one too, and this one, and that one, and that one, and the little bitty one that's right there, then he's got our heart. For where our treasure is, there will a heart be also. If he has got a heart, then he's got it all. And he needs to have it all. We need to give him our all to use us for his honor and his glory. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What we do isn't for me to be the big cheese, but for God to get the glory. We give because it pleases the Father. He deserves for us to give to Him. Not only is He pleased to receive, but He is also pleased to give. Look in verse 9. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever. The Apostle Paul there is repeating Psalm 112, verse 9. His giving reaches far. The Lord's giving isn't just right here in our church, but it reaches to our community, reaches to our town, reaches to our state, to our country, to the uttermost parts of the world. But you know, the Lord wants to use people. I enjoy reading the story about Jesus when he found out that his friend Lazarus was dead. No, I'm not a morbid person, okay? But he goes there, and Mary and Martha say, Lord, you're 4 days late. And he went closer. And if you read that passage, remembering that forwarding Jesus' life, he rolled the stone away from his tomb and came out. So that means when he was in front of Lazarus' tomb, he could have said, he could have rolled the stone away. But if you'll read closely in that account, you'll notice that he told them to roll the stone away. Now, wherever Jesus went for those 3.5 years, making disciples, who went with him? The disciples. He was making disciples. I mean, they followed him. They slept, on the ground. They ate and break bread together. He was teaching them by example. He taught them in class, and then he would put it into practice and teaching them. But when he was there with Mary and Martha, he told them, roll the stone away. Jesus is still in the business of using us, using people. He needs people to give him their pocket so that they can give him their heart and he gets their whole life. It pleases the Father when we give. It gives us a peaceful heart when we give. We're continuing on. God, it pleases God for him to give. Look at verse 10, if you would, please. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. His blessing multiplies your gift. Now, I'm just going to touch on this momentarily to build toward where I want to be. We are required by the Lord to give a tithe. A tithe is a 10% of our income. Now, if the Lord had said, you are to give $200 a week, to some of us, that's a lot of money. To some, it may not be very much. But God didn't make a blanket statement. He said 10%. That's what we give to our local church for the functioning of our local church. That's what we do. But above that, our giving, the Lord takes that and He multiplies it. He blesses that. His blessing multiplies that. So, whereas someone may give, just for, let's say, stay with that number, $200 a week, and it goes through the spectrum all the way down to $2 a week. Maybe some of the kids are 20 cents a week, but that's their 10%. Or if you get paid bi-monthly or monthly, whatever it is, the 10%. But above that, God takes that faith promise and He multiplies it. In our 20 years of ministering in Haiti, maybe this is something I should have done. It would take me time to go back and look at all the records. When we were given gifts, no matter what size, and some of them were given for a specific thing, some of them were given as the Lord leads, of course we thank them and thank the Lord and then used it for what the Lord led us to use. Or if they were for a particular thing, that's what I got used for. You know, if someone gave me money and said, "Brother Dryden, I want you to go buy a pair of socks." They saw that I was on Sunday, for some reason or another, I was wearing my Sunday best socks. You know those holy socks? You guys have Sunday best socks? There you go. Okay. I'm glad I'm not the only one. And they said, "Brother Dryden, go buy a pair of socks." Well, for some reason, they may not have known, for some reason, I grabbed that pair of Sunday socks on my way out the door as I was flying off, and that's the only pair I had for Sunday. I had 50 other pairs in my drawers at home. But the brother gave me and said to go buy socks. Well, I better go buy socks, because that's what he gave it for. We give to the Lord, and the Lord multiplies it. The Lord will multiply it. You know, your giving is contagious. You parents that practice giving, not only your tithe, but you practice giving to missions, you know you're growing disciples right there in your home. Your children are seeing that you're sacrificing, that you're giving. My wife and I never made a point to tell our kids, "Cause this is how much we're giving." But we always gave. We always tithed. And I don't know our children's finances, but I have two ears and two eyes, and I can watch. And I can listen and I can observe and listen to what they say and realize, you didn't learn very well, or you learned pretty good growing up. You were a good disciple. Our giving is multiplied through His blessing. Let's keep reading again, beginning verse 11. "Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God." Always give thanks, folks. It never hurts to say thank you. It hurts a lot when we don't say thank you. I believe that's a detriment not only in the Haitian culture, but here in American culture, that the young people growing up today not appreciative of what they're given. Being thankful. That was a freebie, okay? Verse 12, "For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God." There's the word again. "While by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you." You know, the Lord's strength in our lives helps us to be a blessing to others. You dear folks of the older generation realize that without the Lord's strength, you couldn't do what you're doing this morning, getting up and coming out. Now, to this Haitian boy right here, this morning was cold, okay? The other night, I think it was Friday night, probably, I said the coldest gets to 72. Well, that's in the daytime. At nighttime, in January, in early February, early mornings, probably about 3 o'clock, it might get to the upper 60s. But if it gets to 65, hell is frozen over, brother. Because it never gets that cold. Maybe the mountains, there's some high mountains in Haiti, and it does get nice and cool up there. But where we are at, a quarter mile from the ocean, if it gets 68, boy, we are happy. And all the Haitians are breaking out their parkas, man. I'm telling you what. They are bundled up from head to toe. When you got out this morning, I praise the Lord for the heater in that hotel room this morning. It came on, praise the Lord. And the heated seats in the car, Pastor, I'm glad you had that. That felt pretty good. That was going to be a long 15 minutes drive down here in a cold car. His strength in our life allows us to be a blessing to others. His strength in your life allows you to be a blessing to those 30 plus missionaries and missionary projects and the things you support as missionaries. Don't ever stop giving to missions, because everyone needs to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. When our heart is peaceful and our Father is pleased with us, then our life seems to have purpose. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. What's the purpose of giving to missions? It gives us peace in our heart. It pleases our Heavenly Father. I think it was last night I talked about that. Growing up in home, I wanted to please my daddy. Early last year, Dad knew that the disease he had was just eating his muscles, so to speak, and where he lost mobility in his legs and then eventually his arms, and it just worked its way in. But early on last year, when he could still have some mobility, he asked me to preach his funeral. I thought it was going to be hard. But, I mean, it was difficult, but it wasn't as difficult as I imagined it to be. But he said, "Son, I want the theme of the message to be waiting on the other side." And my dad's waiting for me on the other side. You have folks that are waiting for you on the other side. But you know what? There's unsaved people in the Philippines. There's unsaved people in France. There's unsaved people in Haiti that won't see the other side. Unless you let the Lord work in you, you give Him your treasures where your heart will be, and then He'll have all of you. As you pray about how to go about participating in Faith Promise this year, from this time in 24 to the next missions conference in 25. How is the Lord going to encourage you to up your Faith Promise giving so you can move up to the next category the pastor is encouraging us to do? Last night I did not sleep like a baby. As you moms know, babies don't sleep well, do they? I slept like a rock. I had peace. Do you have the peace that passeth all understanding? Giving gives us that peace. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for your word this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here at Wilton Baptist Church. Lord, it is wonderful to know that you have wonderful servants up here in New York State. But I realize there are servants everywhere, but it's good to meet servants of the Master everywhere I go. Thank you so much for the opportunity to open the Word of God with these precious folks this morning and share with them how we can have peace in our hearts and how we can please the Father with our giving. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Let's take just a moment and consider three things. And are you willing to pray for our missionaries? I want to pray for our missionaries. We'll make a card that has all the names of our missionaries on it. And you can pray through that, and you'll start to know them after a while, and you'll see their pictures out in the lobby. But I'm willing to start praying for our missionaries. Anybody like that? You can just raise your hand here. Okay, let's make some commitments about praying for missionaries. And the second thing is this faith promise idea, is making a commitment, a promise to God. And so I'll stop talking and just meditate for a moment, pray, ask the Lord, what should I do? And you have those little cards, and in a moment you can write down, hey, I'd like to give this much. I believe God's leading me to this, or God can provide. And so I'll just take a moment and be silent. Just think, how can I participate in that faith promise card giving? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your generosity to us, your goodness and kindness. We are so amazed at the gospel of Jesus coming and giving his life and rising again. We pray that we can deliver that message here in our community, to our neighbors, friends, and loved ones, and then also to other people around the world. We thank you for these missionaries who go in our place, who go sharing your love and goodness and the salvation message. We pray that everyone here can find how they can participate. Let us pray, and let us also make promises about giving to our missionaries. So, Lord, increase our faith as we assess and look and consider, and then help us to commit whatever the promise is that you want us to give. We do pray for others that may say, I'm interested in missions or ministry. We ask you to continue to give them that desire, and they would follow that with all their heart. Lord, thank you for what you've done and what you're doing here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Benji, thank you for the good message today. Church, thank you for coming out this morning. Please fill in that little card if you're able to. If you want to pray another afternoon or another week for that, you can. But take that card. If you do fill it in, fill it in the top and in the bottom, and then put it in the offering box, the top part. That way we can kind of plan for the next year. And I'll ask, we'll give you an update tonight and also next week as well. There's no Awana or Rooted. We have our mission dinner right in here. And so we'll start prepping for that in about 10 minutes. And I hope that you'll come back for that. Whether you bring food or not, we want everyone to come back and enjoy this special meeting conclusion here tonight. God bless. Have a good afternoon. Be sure to visit the missionary. He'll be at the back door.